God's still got an ongoing program. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're rewarded. I believe that we assist the Lord Jesus Christ in the judgments down in the great tribulation. We're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ as His bride. Then we come back 10,000 times 10,000. The saints of God there coming back, what to do? To crush the nations of the world. That's the promise of the overcomer, Revelation chapter 2. You know, those who have gone out, like our Lord Jesus, those who have gone out in mercy and love to save, will assist the Lord Jesus Christ in crushing the nations of the earth. Says that. I'll give you an example. You know a little potter there. Those who come from India know the potware, how fragile it is. And sometimes the potter doesn't like a pot that is made. So he can just throw it on the heap and it smashes. And the Lord Jesus said that's what He's going to do, and that's what His church is going to do when they return. I've told you over and over again, I work with some communists, and they used to say, Ron, the meek won't inherit the earth. You know, Jesus said that, the meek will inherit the earth. They said, only the strong will inherit the earth. And I say, well, you can have it at the moment, it's a mess, you can have it. But I said, very, very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and I'm coming back with Him, and we're going to take over. That's what's going to happen. He's going to smash the nations of the world. Sword will come out of His mouth. And the saints of God, the armies of heaven, will be equipped to destroy and wipe wickedness off the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Now let's leap out now. Let's leap out now with the promises of the prophets before we finish. The promises of the prophets to tell us about the ultimate of all, the arrival of His kingdom. Remember there in Amos it says, I will rebuild. Did you notice that word, rebuild? What does that mean? Build it over again. And then it says in Amos, as in the days of old. Way back in the Old Testament. So what has been there and is now gone, it's coming back, brothers and sisters. There's going to be a Jewish kingdom. It's going to be rebuilt. And there's going to be a Jewish man who's going to be the ruler of the world, the immortal Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of David. And God said, I'm very, very jealous about this. Isaiah 9:7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So in our notes we have this important point, the restoring of the theocratic kingdom to Israel. The kingdom lost will be the same kingdom restored, but the king will be the Lord Jesus. What was written over the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Above His head, there were the words, weren't there? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of the world. We've got some head shaking here. Tell me what was written over the head of the Lord Jesus. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And the Orthodox said, we don't want that. Take that down. Rub it out. He said, what I have written stands written. And it was a prophecy. It's true. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was there because of treason. That's what He's accused of, treason. Saying there's another king. They didn't sit down and say, look at all these prophecies. Pilate, we've got to do something. We've got to get the Lord Jesus Christ to that cross as quick as we can because it's all prophesied. No, they had no idea. It's as if the rulers of the world understood what they were doing. They wouldn't do it, Paul said. But what was happening? God was working out His purposes. And that dear Lord Jesus Christ, He was crowned, you know, on His first coming. Crowned with thorns. And He'll go back to Jerusalem crowned with glory and honor. And we'll see those scars. Scars in His hand, at His side. His forehead is not mentioned. But we'll see them there. they'll be underneath that crown of glory there in Jerusalem. So now we see a question of the disciples in the ministry of the Lord, and we'll just hurry through. But here we are. Look at this question. Well, we mentioned a little bit of this morning, Acts 1:6. They said, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, Lord Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, the Lord had just been speaking to them for 40 days. 3b. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was the topic. Number one topic, the Lord Jesus Christ talking about the kingdom of God. Roman Catholics and Protestants tell us that they shouldn't have asked this question of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should have known by now that Israel is finished. The kingdom's gone from Israel. And now all the kingdom stuff is spiritual. That's what Roman Catholicism and all our Protestant denominations teach. What are the disciples asking a question like this after 3 years and after 40 days of special tuition? But what did the Lord say? He didn't rebuke them. He said, look, are you so slow of learning that you've got it all wrong? He did that in previous occasions. No. He never rebuked them about the fact of the kingdom. He instructed them about the timing. It's not just yet. It is not just yet. Verse 7. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Will you at this time restore the kingdom? They've had the kingdom explained. They've had the Messianic kingdom explained. They've offered it to the children of Israel. Now, it's ideal now. You are an immortal man. You've conquered death. You can take over. You can take over Israel. You can take over the world. Will you do it now? Will you be that stone in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2? You are that heavenly man in Daniel chapter 7 that's going to come and strike all the kingdoms of the world. Isn't that? Will you do it now? He said, I have this project for you. Of course, he didn't say now it's going to take 2,000 years. It could have happened within their lifetime. A quick witness throughout the world. Yes, it could have. It could have. So all of this restoration is very important. Here we are in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, which reads, please turn to it, Acts 3:21. Here's Peter on his second main sermon. In verse 20 he says, and that he may send Jesus, who is preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which were spoken, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Look at those all-embracing words there. The restoration of everything. The restoration of everything. Restoration means what was before is made new or restored. And who's been promising it? All the prophets. And for how long? Since the world began. Are you with me? Here's this point by George N.H. Peaches in point D. He says, the kingdom is a complete restoration in the person of the second Adam of the dominion lost by the first Adam. Paradise is coming back. And eventually there will be a new heavens and a new earth. Yes. Even in the eternal age. And it's everything that the prophets have spoken about. So don't go to the theologians talking about the book of the Revelation. Go back to the prophets in the Old Testament and they'll tell you what's going to be restored. Do you see that? Are you still on board? You're still on board. Don't worry about the theologians trying to explain the book of Revelation. Go back to the prophets in the Old Testament that tell you in detail what's going to be restored. One thing we do know is the kingdom in Israel.